This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. Sudan Archives is my first guest this week. She's been making music all her life. She grew up in Ohio, where she played violin and sang in church and school bands. Her stepdad was a label guy. He tried to make a pop duo out of Sudan and her twin sister, but it didn't take. Sudan needed to do her own thing, to be an artist in her own right. So, when she got her high school diploma, she headed out to L.A. She started hanging out at a club called Low End Theory, home to beatmakers like Flying Lotus, Daedalus, and No Such Thing. It was there, at Low End, that she found her voice as an artist. Sudan Archives is a violinist who, of course, breaks new ground with what that instrument can do in pop music. But she's not just a violinist. It's only one color from her palette, one arrow in her quiver. When that fiddle combines with her voice, her beatmaking, her songwriting, Sudan Archives makes mesmerizing music. Stay out of my flame, never feeling lonely, only gliding, flying, always being constantly reminded. Time is running up, don't waste your luck, sucker. This is my life, don't mix that up. This is my life, don't block the sun. This is my seat, can't you tell? This is my time, don't waste it up. This is my land, not for sale. That's Not For Sale, Sudan Archives' breakthrough single off her 2018 EP, Sync. Her newest record is called Natural Brown Prom Queen. It came out this fall. She recorded it at home during the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's listen to a single from that record, Selfish Soul. Sudan Archives, welcome to Bullseye. It's great to have you on the show.
Hello.
Your hands are facing me. Are those tattoos or henna tattoos on your hand there?
Tats.
All the way up both of your arms.
Yeah, I'm about to get tatted all over too. Like, I used to think that I was going to go to hell if I ever got tattoos. But, yeah.
When you say that, do you mean that sincerely? Did you sincerely believe you would go to
hell? I sincerely believed I was going to go to hell. Like, I was a super church girl. But that's not true. I'm not going to go to hell. And I really love tattoos. I don't really like jewelry because I lose it. So, like, I want to adorn my body and not have to worry about, like, losing it.
So what have we got going on here? I see a jellyfish on one side. Is that what that is?
Yeah, this is a jellyfish. So I realized I'm doing, like, land, water, fire, all, like, the elements or something. Because, like, this arm is a tree. It's an inverted tattoo, so the skin is the art. So you see, like, a branch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then this one's a jellyfish. I think I'm going to get my chest piece.
So you say you were a heavy churchgoer. How heavy are we talking about? How
Three
serious?
3 times a week. I Bible study, choir rehearsal, Sunday. So that's, like, 3 times a week. Yeah.
And was that your folks doing?
Yeah, they're like, my dad was like a pastor at one point, so yeah, I was like a preacher's kid.
What did that mean to be a preacher's kid?
Read the Bible, write stories about it.
Wait, write stories about the Bible?
Like, read the Bible and then, like, write, like, summarize what you read in your own way.
Okay. Not like a thing where Buffy and Willow kiss.
No.
Like a thing where, not like an alternate ending to the David and Goliath story or something.
No, but yeah, I was like, not really like, when I started playing like violin in the choir, that's when I actually started liking it though. Because aside from that, I would just be in the back just chilling.
You picked up the violin at school, right?
Yeah, like I started in school. Then we moved around a bunch of times. Then they never had orchestra. So then I just kept playing in church, basically.
Were you moving around because your dad was a pastor or because of money stuff? Or
money stuff. Basically, my dad sold cars. And my mom, like, she was, like, working in insurance or something at the time. They just basically kept making hella money. And then they just wanted us to, like, they kept upgrading their life. And they wanted us to be in the best schools. So it just, like, I don't know. It just got more suburban and suburban and suburban.
Were you going to church 3 times a week the whole way through into your teenage years and everything?
Yeah, until, like, I moved when I was 19, you know.
Were you a firm believer that whole time?
Yeah, like, it was just, like, installed in me. And then I just started, like, doing psychedelics and, like, going to experimental shows and raving. And then I just kind of, like, it opened me up. And I was just like, yo, I'm about to move.
That's not unfair. What did you do with a violin in choir at church?
I was basically like, they were like, I was just soloing. Like, they basically learned songs that had violin in it. So I would just play those songs. I would just teach myself how to like play those songs. And I think that's how I just learned how to just be very like improv-y and learning, you know, like in the church, in the black church, like they just let anybody go up there and they can sound like horrible. They're just like, yes, Lord. So for years I like sucked. Like it was like, I don't know how they dealt with that.
What songs that you would sing in a church choir have a violin part?
Okay. When we pray, we believe, we receive what we have in it. And then there's this violin solo that goes like. And then they sing that part again.
Did you have an aspiration with the violin? I mean, did you think you were going to be a concert violinist, or did you think you were going to work in the touring company of Riverdance, or did you think?
Yeah, I definitely think I was not going to be in no orchestra, but I was feeling some Riverdance. I was thinking maybe I'm going to be like a fiddler on the roof, and I'm going to be playing all these fiddles, and I'm going to be jigging around. Yeah.
Was that something going on in Cincinnati where you grew up? Like, were there?
Yeah, that was something going on.
Are we talking about country, like
we're talking
Appalachian
about,
music?
We're talking
fiddling?
About talking Irish about jigging.
Yeah, for real Irish jigging.
We're talking about jigging. There's this little town in Ohio called Wyoming, and that's where I first picked up the instrument. They had, like, fiddle club and stuff, and, you know, they just,
there was a fiddle club?
Yeah, there was an after-school program called Fiddle Club.
No.
Yeah.
For real?
And I was fiddling, okay? Yes. And I remember I was so sad because I moved, and then I never had, like, any kind of, like, classes or anything to go to. So I just kept playing in church. But yeah, I had a little taste of that.
And the fiddle club was it like with step dancers with ribbons on there?
It was like, we're walking around, okay? We're two-stepping. We're playing the fiddle. We're jigging. And then we're learning how to like improv in the songs we learn. And then that's all I remember. And then I left.
So when did you figure out that your violin was useful for something other than church, Irish folk music, and what if I was in an orchestra?
When did I realize that?
Yeah, that it was good for other stuff too.
Oh, exactly. Really early, because I had the fiddle experience at such a young age. So I started to like just YouTube a lot of like fiddle stuff. So I learned about like African fiddling and how the Irish jig music I liked because it was like basically like in me, like African fiddle or something. And they basically have their traditional songs, and it's like wild and like beautiful, like the Irish jig music. And then I just discovered so much more playing in Sudan and in Czech and just everywhere. Then I realized, oh, like violin is like a culture, it depends on where you're at, and you don't have to just do it in this white way, like in the classical orchestra, just playing all these people's musics. You can kind of like, you can branch out, you can do it in your own way, and it's been done already, actually.
So let's start with, you said Czech.
Yeah.
What's going on in Czechoslovakia?
Well, there's this artist named Eva Batova, and she is like the Bjork of violin. Like one of her first, if you go on Spotify, like the very first album, she's just like singing and playing violin, and it's like very like really cool. I don't know. Stuff like that, you find people like that, and then you're like, oh, I don't have to be in an orchestra. I could just do what I want to do.
What was the incident that got you out of the house?
Like out of?
Out of Cincinnati.
I told you I was doing psychedelics and I was like, I'm going to move to LA and just be free and live on the ocean and do open mics and get a job.
Did you know somebody?
Oh, yeah, I knew Cat 500. So basically, I was like pen pals with Cat 500 on SoundCloud, and we both thought each other were men. So we were like messaging each other like, hey, dude, you want to like jam, blah, blah, blah? Yeah, come to L.A. You want to like play dub lab with me? I was like, what is dub lab? Yeah. So I flew out. Then I stayed with her. And then I just never came back. Mm.
Where were your folks in this?
They were at the house. They were like, why are you leaving? Just stay here. I was like, I gotta go because y'all telling me I can't go out late. My curfew's like 9:30 or 10 or something, some crazy time. Like,
how? And you're an 18-year-old or something?
Yeah, something like that. 17, 18, 19, you know? I'm like, look, y'all, no. And they're like, if you're not gonna respect the rules, you gotta get out. So I'm leaving. Y'all, I'm going to LA though. It's sunny.
Even more still to come with Sudan Archives. Stay with us. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Noom. Noom understands that not everyone is starting from the same place and takes that into account. With their first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, you can find 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Manolo, guess what? Manolo, guess what?
What?
Doctor Game Show has made it to 100 episodes on Maximum Fun.
Oh, that's true. I knew that.
Well, to celebrate, we are releasing our entire Earwolf archives to Max Fun members. That's anyone who gives $5 or more monthly to support podcasts like Doctor Game Show.
That's 63 episodes with in-studio comedian guests like Jason Mantzoukas, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers, Joe Pera, Todd Barry and Janine Garofalo, Connor O'Malley, Chris Gethard and more.
Plus three bonus episodes that include two pilot episodes. Wow, two pilots must be good.
Find the feed at MaximumFun.org/BOCO, B-O-C-O.
Stands for bonus content.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. If you're just joining us, my guest is Sudan Archives. She is a violinist, a singer, a songwriter. Born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, she now lives in Los Angeles. Her most recent record is called Natural Brown Prom Queen.
Here's another song from it. This is Chevy S10.
She was the Benz, stuck up so no one could stop her now. Cause bitch girls don't know what they ask for. Don't know what they're here for. Don't know what they judge for. Don't know why they hate her. But they don't want what they halo low. Only call you when they feeling low. Only judging cause their time is slow. Only hating cause you icy as snow.
You had a stepfather who had been a record producer and was like recording music with you, and they were still on the you gotta be home by 10 situation?
Exactly. Like, it just wasn't adding up. Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, he wanted us to, like, focus on our craft and stuff. But it was just, like, the rules around it were a little bit too tight for me. Because I'm still, like, a teenager. I'm still trying to, like, I want to do music, but I don't have to do it this way. I just know. I just need to figure out what it is.
Right. Like, it sounds like your stepfather knew very well Elaine.
Yes.
He had worked for LaFace, one of the most important urban record labels in American history.
Like, he came over with Babyface, and then he was like, perform for them. And I was just like, no. It was, like, really bad.
Wait, Babyface came over to your house?
Yeah, because, you know, he was married to my stepdad's sister at one point. So they're, like, kind of close. You know, they still, like, when they're in town, I think he's doing a show. So then he just stopped by, said hi to all the family, you know.
And your stepdad was like, go get your violin. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And you didn't?
I did it with Catherine. Yeah. And it was like, in my head, I was like,
that's your twin sister?
Yeah. It was just bad.
Why was it bad?
Because I didn't like the songs we were doing and stuff. And I just felt like, so nervous. I don't feel like doing this. This feels weird.
Were you making music out of the house besides that when you were still in Cincinnati?
Yes, I was. So I was doing that with my twin, and then I just kind of was, like, hanging out with, like, a group of rappers and, like, going to, like, this night called Synthesizer Nights. That was the first time I saw SP404. And then from there, that's when I discovered, oh, I want to make music like this. Like, be in control of the production and kind of, like, I guess it's like experimental music in a way. Like, you know, I was going to all these experimental shows. It's like hands-on.
What's an SP-404?
It's a drum machine, and you can like make beats on it, and you can also like put backing tracks on it, and you can like affect a lot of the sounds. Like, you can put a lot of crazy effects on them. And then you can also put a microphone in it or an instrument in it. You can, like, mess with that, too. So, basically, I started, like, getting gear like that and, like, the looper. Once I got the looper, then I discovered I can be my own orchestra and layer loops and loops of violin and kind of, like, just perform like that.
To what extent were the people around you in that scene making beats, like making music that you would call hip-hop? And to what extent were they making weird noises?
They were just going in. They were, like, all of these, like, dope black men, like, doing cool shit. They were, like, the Blackie was his name, and then Kafari was throwing Synthesizer Nights. He, like, made Homemaker and Freakalizer with me. I took some of his piano samples. But they were inspired by, I think, the L.A. experimental beat scene. They would, like, talk about, like, Low End Theory and stuff. They would, like, they would be inspired by, like, you know, J. Dilla and stuff like that. Right. So they were making, like, these really cool, like, hip-hop beats, and they were, like, really good. And they were just, like, that's all they would do.
So when you got to L.A., did you have a plan?
Yeah, I really didn't get... I just didn't care. I just wanted to go to L.A., go to college, and maybe get some good grades so I could transfer to a music college or something. And that's what I was going to do, and I was just going to, like, live and be an independent person, you know?
So let's talk for a minute again about what kind of violin stuff you heard that you were into. So we talked about Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Right? There's a variety of kind of violin-y instruments in West Africa, right?
Yeah. There's gojis. There's ritis. There's a lot of, like, one-string fiddles that I would say are, like, the first violins. They're, like, Stone Age violins that have been, like, invented, you know, a long time ago. And the way that they play... it reminds me of fiddle music. It's like they play, they make it seem like they're playing on like a violin, but it's really a one string. So when I discovered that music, it really inspired the songs like Come My Way. Because like, It's just like wild riffs. Yeah, that was like a huge like moment discovering African fiddles. So yeah, skip that. In Sudan, they're actually playing the violin, but they're doing it in their own way. And like their music is just so good. And there's like really, really strong violin culture there. And it's like, it really like fascinated my mind that there's strong Black violin culture. Like even as like during slavery, there was a lot of like fiddlers and stuff. And like I read that if you were like a fiddler, you were worth more. It's trippy. But yeah, African American fiddle music, like there's some music like that. And then there's West African Goji fiddles from like the northern Ghana. And there's like traditional Sudanese violin music. And there's like Ethiopian violins. And all around Africa, there's basically, there's these like one string fiddles, and then they also play violin. And like, when I discovered all that, I just felt like seen or something. Cause I was like, oh, like, I'm not the only Black person in my orchestra. I'm just like in a place right now. And I need to just like find my sound. Yep.
You're not the only one where you are. You're one of many. You just happen to be 6,000 miles away.
Exactly. Like, I'm not an enigma. I'm just a cool. Can you cuss on here?
I mean, we'll beep it out.
Oh.
I can't imagine we'd cut that. It was too good. We'll have to beep it, I think. How important is it to you that your music jams? Like, how important is it that it's danceable, that it's like...
Yeah, it's like really important. Like it has to bop. Like I will make a beat all year just making sure like it would be like a really like beat, but I will like make sure I got the swing right and then it bops and like the ideas are there and then like I'll like get other people to like redo the bass line or this or that, but it's like it has to have some feeling, you know?
Because it's not a natural, it's not an easy, obvious instrument, the violin, to make bang. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
In Western pop music,
in Western
often
pop, yeah.
It's
not banging.
Corny, it's corny fill, right?
It's not banging. And like, that's what I'm saying. I discovered it bangs. The fill used to be the music that you go in a club and it's the filler. And everybody's just, is raunchy, like little raunchy, hot little puff thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. But in a Black girl way.
You know, your music, because I'm old, your music makes me think a little bit of Timbaland.
Oh, yeah. I love Timbaland. Look, I love Timbaland. Timbaland, I love you.
I love you too, Timbaland.
Like, I low-key, like, that era probably was the, aside from, like, all the stuff I was doing going to shows, that era is I'm trying to be like that.
Well, I mean, that is the that of that era is basically Timbaland. There's
yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, like, I just want to be like Timbaland. I want to be like Timbaland. I want to be like Timbaland. And I'm going to be like Timbaland. And Timbaland, yeah. Now you know.
Timbaland made a record with Bubba Sparxxx that I really love that has a lot of fiddles on it.
And ooh, I have not heard that.
They're fiddles. Like, he used a lot of pretty straight country music in making the beats. And I think that must be why it reminds me of your music, that like the idea of taking these sounds and turning them into dance sounds.
Right.
And like urban dance, like there are things about the kind of Irish jig kind of dance music, but there's also like hip hop beat aesthetics that you make the sounds into.
Yeah, like I'm sampling myself all the time. I'm basically getting high, playing violin, putting a bunch of, like, guitar pedals through it. Oh, that's weird. And then I'm resampling that and then making it bop.
What kind of getting high are we talking about? What are the paths
here? I love weed.
Yeah.
And I love psychedelics. Psychedelics is going to heal the world. Every black person should do psychedelics because we're already just so traumatized. We need to do psychedelics. Actually, everybody just needs to do psychedelics.
What did your Be Home by 10 family think about all that?
I don't even think they knew I was on these things. She thought I was out there just having sex and stuff, but I was discovering God in a way I've never, you know, I was talking to God. And now I talk back to my mom. I'm like, did you know I was doing shrooms and stuff? She was like, no. But then I kind of got hip and then it's like, there's nothing I can do. And I was like, yeah, you're right. There's nothing you can do. But now weed heals her disc, like back thing that she has. And she, you know, it helps her back. And I just think it's so funny that all of my like family members are asking me to send them like weed and stuff, the weed cream, because they all like got like aching body stuff, you know. And now it's just funny because y'all was judging me. Y'all was like really judging me though. And now you doing what I'm doing.
In this new record, there's a lot of you trying to figure out what home is and create home. There's a great song on here called Homemaker that is sort of mixed up bowl of different, of those different feelings.
Yeah.
Was that partly about, you know, a lot of us were just in our houses a lot.
Yeah. My home looked like an IKEA trap house before COVID happened. And then when COVID happened, I actually had time to decorate. I started doing stuff. Ooh, it's a vibe now. So then I made that song because I was like, why don't you step inside my house? Because, you know, I was like, I want someone to come over. Like, it's so cute. And I remember, like, that was the first song I made on the album. And then I knew from there, I was like, this album is going to stem from that song. And that's when I remember, like, making it and starting with the claps. And, like, remember I started getting a bunch of plants. So I just started singing about the stuff in my house.
Around the madness, won't you step inside my lovely cottage? Feels so great, it feels like makeup magic. Only babs are hit in my trellis. And baby, I'm the baddest. Wake me up when this gets to the action. When the place a mess, I get the maddest. I'm so sorry, baby, it's a habit. When you go away, I get the saddest.
Was it really, truly like a look around, start singing about the first four things you see?
Was it? No, because I was in the basement and I was talking about what was upstairs. But I had just bought a wall mount for my plants. So I was probably just singing about that. Like, just singing about what was on my mind. Like, kind of freestyling it and then finished it, yeah.
There is also a lot on this record about, like, home beyond the physical place. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I imagined you must have been thinking as you were sitting in an apartment or recording in a basement in LA about what you had left in Cincinnati,
right?
About what you wanted from there, whether you wanted to be there.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of people who moved home during the pandemic from places like
too.
New York. And I'm like, I'm from San Francisco. I can't afford to move home.
But, right. Yeah, you can't go home.
But, you know, everybody moved to upstate New York or whatever because they reevaluated their lives. Did you have that feeling as somebody who had so rejected where you were from?
Exactly. No, I was like, look, I'm not going back or I'll turn to stone. Okay? So I'm going to ground myself even if it kills me.
What was your sister's role in all of this? Because you have a twin sister with whom you had made music when you were teens.
Yeah.
She was back in Cincinnati?
Yeah, she, like, moved back to Cincinnati because, like, her lease was up. So she was like, I'm going back to Cincinnati at this time. So she just moved back to L.A. right now. So we live 4 minutes away from each other. So she was just in Cincinnati that whole COVID time. So that really, I had, like, no family. I was just like, look, I'm going to make a home. I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to hold down the fort.
Had you been as close with her as people imagine twin siblings to be?
Yeah. Like, we get close, and then we hate each other, and then we get close, and then we hate each other. Right now, we're close. I basically forced her to come on tour with me and quit her job and do the merch.
What's it like to have your sister on tour with you selling tapes and LPs in the back?
It was, like, amazing. She basically was, like, the best. She drove most of the time and was slinging the merch. And then we just slept in the rooms together, saving money.
My wife and her sister will sleep in a bed together in at a moment's notice. You couldn't pay me enough to get in a bed with my brothers. They smell terrible.
That's hilarious.
I love them very
much. That's hilarious, yeah.
I love them so much, but...
She was doing really good on tour. Like, she works really well under pressure. It was great. Everyone kept thinking it was me, though, when they would walk in. They would hug her, and then she'd be like, I'm not Sudan.
Are the two of you identical?
No. You know how people be.
You're talking about white people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They think everybody looked the same. Mm-hmm.
Guilty.
Oh, my God. But I'm a visual person, so I could never... When I see a face, like twins, identical, I can tell them apart. Because they act different. They're, like, moving different, like, you know?
Well, your sister could be on stage with you.
She could. I keep telling her, you better learn the fiddle again, because you could come out, we could do a little thing.
So the plan is for her to learn the fiddle so she can do your fiddle parts so you can do more arm dancing?
Well, I was thinking, you know how dudes be on stage with the guitar? They got a backup guitar. Like, somebody can hold me down while I go like, nah, 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 nah. And someone's like, and I'm like, da-da-da-da-da, and she's just like,
sure.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Really does.
You got to just save your money and hire Miri Binari, the hip-hop violinist.
Oh, my God. That's just a funny story. That's the first CD that my Uncle Ted gave me. He bought my violin, and he gave me a Miri Binari CD. And that was the first time I saw a violinist doing their own thing. And I was like, oh, I can be like that.
Do you like working the road?
I mean, I really like it because basically, and I don't like it because I'd be missing home, but I really like it because I basically practice the violin a lot. When I'm on the road, it's like that's the time where I'm like really serious about practicing scales and stuff. Like for every song, I made like an exercise sheet that has like Chevy is in this song and this scale. Here are the exercises. I practice it. And like I just feel like I love playing the violin. I love learning the violin. And I love knowing like, ooh, I'm getting better. Because it's been a slow growth for me. Like I haven't been like, you know, it's been very like free form and just kind of like just live experiences really just have trained me. But right now I'm in my like routine bag where I feel like I could like stay the same or I could just go crazy.
I imagine it's a very different kind of skill to play your records when you are making your records and to play them on a stage that like because your sound is so much about manipulating the sounds that the violin makes. You know, you might just be standing there playing the same four notes 20 times until they sound exactly the right kind of way you want them to sound. There's a very different skill than going on stage and playing a whole thing straight through.
Yeah, I know. So I got these exercises that basically help me. It's like these crazy exercises. And my music and my melodies are really simple, but I'm, like, now trying to, like, practice these, like, intricate scales. So when I'm on stage, it just feels like I can do it and sing at the same time. Like, it's, like, nothing. Well, I'm trying to get to that point. But it's kind of working. And it's kind of fun. Like, even songs that don't have violin, I've, like, created violin things to play. And it's just, like, really fun. I don't know. I just love violin.
So when you're on stage and you're performing, do you have a band these days?
Well, right now I just have, like, a Moog player who plays samples on the SPDX and drums, stuff on it. And then I have my SP-404 that I do samples, melodic samples on, and play the violin. And it's been banging because bass is important in my music. And now when you walk in my show, you hear and feel the bass shaking your heart up. And I'm just like, yes. But in LA, I had my homie play guitar on Chevy S10. He like produced some of the songs with me, and it looked so good, a three piece. Two. So I feel like what I really want is like a drummer that knows Ableton really well, the same bass player who samples stuff, and then me. And that'll be the complete trio.
We'll wrap up with Sudan Archives after a quick break. When we return, how does she imagine herself in 20 or 25 years? Maybe like playing violin on Saturday Night Live when Puffy does that Led Zeppelin Cashmere song? Something like that? Well, anyway, we'll find out. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs, who believes that plants and gardening are for everyone. With over 25 years of developing, trialing, and testing some of the most recognized flowering shrubs and evergreens on the market, Proven Winners Color Choice makes it easy to transform dull yards into vibrant, colorful landscapes. Ready to spruce up your yard this spring? Proven Winners Color Choice created the Gardening Simplified Landscape Guide to help you get started with tried and true elements of good planting design. Identify the roles you want new plants to play in your outdoor space, like ground covers, climbers, or attracting pollinators. Then browse garden plans and see which layouts and plants can bring your vision to life. Proven Winners Color Choice shrubs are available in the distinctive white containers at garden centers nationwide. Learn more at provenwinnerscolorchoice.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. What if you could find, track, and close deals all in one place? Now you can thanks to HubSpot Sales Hub, a connected, customizable sales platform that's a joy to use. Try it at HubSpot.com/sales.
Presenting the new MaxFunStore.com. We've got shirts for your torso, hats for your head, drinkware for your finest beverages, and so much more. Starring your favorite Max Fun shows with new and classic designs. Find the perfect gift for the podcast fan in your life. Heck, that could be you. We're not judging. Head to MaxFunStore.com now. That's MaxFunStore.com.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This is Bullseye. My guest is Sudan Archives. Are there like electronic music, violin club meetups? Like, do you ever like have lunch with Laurie Anderson?
No, but I did kind of meet up with Laura Escuda, yeah. So basically she is like she's the owner of this like playback company. Like she'll do playback for like Kanye West and like stuff like that back in the day. But she knows everything about Ableton and violin. And I do know this guy, Trevor Noah, who's like, he is just like that. So when I find people like that, I definitely try to like meet up with them. And I'm just like, you want to talk about violins, but electronic violins and nerdy stuff. And can you low-key like help me make it better?
There was a dude in my neighborhood when I was a kid in the Mission District in San Francisco who would wear like a kind of like a loincloth, sort of like you might see an Aztec dancer wear. And he was, I think, multi-ethnic, but probably read as African-American and had big, long braids that he wore up above his head. And so he would just be wearing this loincloth and boots. And he had these big, intense, I Googled a picture of him so I could show him to you. Had these big, intense braids up on top of his head. And his name was Thoth.
Cool.
And he'd just be jamming out on the street. And then one time, I think he won an Oscar or something. I think there's like a documentary about him that won an Oscar or something. But anyway.
Oh, wait, I can look that up.
Yeah, that dude would just be Thoth. Yeah. I Googled Thoth because I was like, I think that guy's name was Thoth. And it was. It was Thoth.
That's amazing.
S.K. Thoth, or often S-K? Just Thoth. He's a New York-based performance artist.
Performance? What does that even mean?
It's his eclectic mix of violin, voice, and dance performance.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty badass. I mean, the other thing about him is he's only wearing the loincloth, and he only wears a loincloth very well. He looks like $1 million only wearing a loincloth. He's pretty yoked. Pretty handsome guy, Thoth.
So Thoth was the god of the moon, it says.
Yeah, you got to search for Thoth violin or something.
Okay. So he looks like the god, like the Thoth god.
Sort of does. Sometimes he wears a cool dress. Here's one with him wearing a cool dress.
Oh, my God.
He looks pretty good in that.
This is crazy.
I'm just going to talk about Thoth now. It's going to be you and Laurie Anderson and Thoth having your crazy violin club.
Yeah, I really want to, like, start, like, a weird little meetup thing. That would be cool.
Do you have a dream goal? Do you want to be a MTV pop star?
I want to learn the violin. Like, I want to be so good on the violin. I don't really care about anything else. I just want to be so good. You know, I want to master my instrument, and that's never going to happen, but yeah.
What does so good mean for you?
I want to know a lot of, like, material that I like. I want to learn it. And I also want to be able to understand the theory of music and my music specifically. I want to be able to, like, just be able to play any scale right now and actually understand what that means. I think that would be pretty cool.
Could you see yourself 10 years from now being Miri Benari, the hip-hop violinist? Like, can you see yourself being a person who's, like, whoever the big national headliner of urban music is, you're the one that goes on tour with them and plays the violin parts? Or is it going to be your thing?
I don't know. I think if it's, like, a dope thing, then yeah, maybe. But I always wanted to just be, like, in a band where people are screaming. Like, and be that violinist, like, like, looking hot in the corner, like.
If anyone is wondering, Sudan Archives just offered a sort of physical interpretation of ripping out a sweet violin solo. Sort of like Eddie Van Halen style.
I think that'd be so dope. My friend Karan said she wants to start a band and she wants to scream, and I told her I'd be in it.
This could be big.
Yeah, I think it's going to be big.
Do you go to church now?
No, I don't go to church.
Do you think about it ever?
Yeah. Seems like I just don't ever have time, to be honest.
Do you think you would if you had time?
Yeah. Why not? I also will go to the mosque. Try it all out.
Do you believe in the same kind of God that you believed in when you were 14?
Yeah, I mean, subconsciously, yeah. Like, it's all the same to me. So, yeah. Definitely feel like I'm a little ant and the world is bigger than me. And then there's the ocean. And that's God. Like, if you don't think that, then that's cool. But that's what I think. And I think that makes me sleep good.
100% I thought that you meant that you think of yourself as an ant, A-U-N-T, like a fun ant, like an auntie. Like you're going to have nieces.
No, like I'm a little ant bug. Like I'm
take them to concerts.
I'm an ant to this world, and I am humbled by my experience.
Well, Sudan Archives, I sure appreciate you taking the time to be on Bullseye. It was really nice to get to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm like really nervous.
It's going to be okay.
And I hope I didn't say anything crazy, but I just had to be myself. So, bye, NPR.
Bye, Sudan Archives. Her great new album is called Natural Brown Prom Queen. It's out now on vinyl and digital. Go get it. It's really something else. That's the end of another episode of Bullseye. Bullseye is created from the homes of me and the staff of Maximum Fun in and around Greater Los Angeles, California. This week, here at my house, I planted 3 trees out front. And man, that was a lot of digging, not least when we found a gargantuan rock about 6 inches under the ground where one of the trees was going. And me and my neighbor Ruben, who I found out is about to turn 80, had to get 2 of his enormous crowbars. I mean, I'm talking about like 5-foot-long crowbars to jack this thing out of the hole. Whew, it was rough, but we got that tree in there. Our show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our senior producer is Kevin Ferguson. Our producers are Jesus Ambrosio and Richard Roby. Our production fellow at Max Fun is Tabitha Myers. We get booking help from Mara Davis. Our interstitial music is by DJW, also known as Dan Wally. Our theme song is called Huddle Formation, written and recorded by the Go Team. Thanks to them and their label Memphis Industries for letting us use it. If you're in the UK and you happen to be listening to this, the Go Team are about to hit the road there in the UK, and it's a killer show, so you should go see it. Bullseye is also on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Find us there, follow us, we'll share with you all our interviews, and I think that's about it. Just remember, all great radio hosts have a signature sign-off.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. Their flowering shrubs and evergreens are trialed and tested by expert horticulturists for 8 to 10 years to ensure a beautiful, high-performance display in your landscape or garden. And because the team at Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs is passionate about gardening, they've put together resources to help you get started with garden projects big and small. For example, did you know that hydrangea flower buds form on branches the year before they bloom? With guides like Hydrangeas Demystified, you can learn from the experts and get your questions answered on hydrangea pruning, watering, reblooming, and more. Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are available in the distinctive white containers at garden centers nationwide, including over 50 varieties of hydrangeas. Learn more at provenwinnerscolorchoice.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.